How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. with Jim Valley on Saturdays, and Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern, with me, Andrew Zarian. Boy, a lot to talk about today. I'm solo today, by the way, guys. No Matt Ryan, no guests, nobody's here. It's me. We're going old school. I haven't done a solo show in who knows how long at this point. I can't remember, to be honest. I've done a couple of these, and I actually like it because I get to kind of pace things my way and take my time and kind of go more into detail. We're going to talk about a lot today. Obviously, fallout from ROH Final Battle. I love that show. 4 p.m. pay-per-view here on the East Coast, 1 p.m. Pacific. How can you not enjoy an afternoon show like this? Right after that, we got NXT Deadline. I want to talk about that. I don't know how I feel about that match. I'll talk about it. I want to get what you guys, you know, your opinions on this. Obviously, Sasha Banks, big news this week. It's coming out that she's possibly appearing at Wrestle Kingdom. It's likely done with WWE. And that little teaser by Paige on Dynamite saying that she's going to have a secret opponent or a secret tag partner. I did that on all my own. I kept calling it a secret opponent. How do you do a secret opponent? I'm not telling anybody who I'm facing, but I'm facing somebody. Secret tag partner on the January 11th episode of Dynamite. So there's some time to lead up, a month to lead up to this. So start speculating. Who could it be that it's worth to kind of tease it? And Ring of Honor's weekly TV show plans were revealed. At least some of it was revealed. I don't think this is what people thought they were getting. This is not what I thought we were getting. And I don't even think people within AEW expected this to be the end result for a ROH TV show. There was a lot of hope that this would be on a Turner property or a Warner Media property, Warner Discovery Bros property. But it's not, as of yet. So we're going to go into that. I personally, I'm a little surprised, but all this and a whole lot more and your viewer questions. We're going to be answering your questions in the chat. I'm going to tell you guys after the break how we could do this. Wrestling Observer Live, Sunday edition, here on Sports Byline. We'll be right back after this. Wrestling Observer Live, Sunday edition, here with you guys. A lot of wrestling to talk about. Yesterday, there was a ton of stuff going on. UFC, NXT, AEW. Matt Ryan is not here with me this week. I'm solo. Matt was covering the UFC pay-per-view on the Matt Men channel here on YouTube, youtube.com/Matt Men Podcast, if you want to check it out. Once a month, he's doing this thing. Would be very cool. And also, I do another show called Matt Men. I've been doing it for like 12 years. That's how I got started in pro wrestling podcasts, pro wrestling broadcasting. And now look at this. And now I'm doing the Wrestling Observer. My boyhood dream has become reality. Isn't that the line for Sean? Guys, let's go into some of the news before we go into ROH, because I want to hear from you guys about that show. Use the hashtag, if you're tweeting me, AskWOL. You could do so on Twitter, twitter.com/AndrewZarian is my Twitter. Direct it to me and use the hashtag AskWOL, and we'll do our best to answer your questions today at the end of the show. But I want to start up with some of the news here. Sasha Banks news. This has become one of the most interesting stories of the year. There were so many, right? In any other universe, Sasha Banks walking out of WWE would have been the big story. Fortunately, it's not. But the news is coming out that she is scheduled to appear at Wrestle Kingdom. Dave went into detail on this with Brian on Wrestling Observer Radio. I recommend you guys check it out. She said she agreed to terms for... It's all verbal, right? There's no contract here. It's all verbal agreements, handshake agreements. She agreed to terms for multiple dates with New Japan, but re-signing with WWE is still possible. Right now, she's not signed, but it is possible. Apparently, and this is... Dave brought this up today... Her asking price to go back to WWE was very high, and he was able to kind of go into detail on this and say that it wasn't high as far as the men's division goes, but it was very high comparative to the women's division in WWE. I mean, listen, she's a big star. She was in Mandalorian. She has some crossover branding. She has crossover mainstream non-wrestling, you know, attention, which is always a positive. But I find that a little interesting. I'm sure she wants, you know, Ronda Rousey level money or Charlotte level. I don't know Charlotte's contract or Becky's contract. I'm sure she wants a lot more, but there's still a lot of people that are disappointed that she just walked out on them. So maybe that's playing a part. But she's not scheduled to wrestle, according to Dave, just to set up a match. So MG, and you help me out here a little bit, right? There you go. Our producer, Matt. I don't know if you guys could hear Matt. John, I don't know if they could hear him or not, or our other producer here. But if they can't, if we could try to get... Okay, thank you. There we go. So he's good. So here's my question, right? He's not good, mm-hmm. apparently. All right, maybe you guys could hear. Maybe you guys can't. I was a little confused because the Wrestle Kingdom setup sounded like a match at Wrestle Kingdom, no?
Yeah, well... I don't know for sure, but I do know that they said they have her coming in, and why would you have her come in all the way over there just to set up a match for later when that's a big name?
Yeah, yeah. That, I mean, listen, it's Wrestle Kingdom. It's like a WrestleMania appearance, especially if you're a fan of, you know, New Japan Pro Wrestling like we are. So it is a big deal to be there. I would have liked to see something happen.
Yeah, it's the first women's match in New Japan.
In New Japan, yeah. So I guess at the end she could come out and crown, you know, give the title to the winner, and you could do that. But this is becoming an interesting story here because at the same time as this is happening, the New Japan story and with Sasha's happening, Paige on Wednesday, or Saraya, sorry, I got to get used to that, man. I can't get used to it, right? I keep calling her Paige. Saraya... mentioned that she will have a mystery tag partner for the January 11th show, Dynamite. That's coming up in a month from now. That's when everybody started speculating. Well, it has to be Sasha. It has to be Mercedes. I mean, it could be a lot of other people. I mean, the possibilities, a lot of people were thinking it was Nia Jax early on when she said that. I mean, some of the other names, I don't know if it's Nia or not. Some people were speculating AJ Lee, which I don't see happening considering how her husband exited the company. You have some options here, and I'm sure they're going to come up with something creative. But if it was Sasha, if it is Mercedes, what does that do to the AEW women's division? I think it gratefully improves it. It could be Trinity. It could be Thunder Rosa. It could be Toni Storm. The list goes on and on in the chat. I think, you know, I don't think it's going to be Toni. I'll tell you that. I don't think they would tease something for a month if it's Toni. I mean, it could be Thunder Rosa for sure. It could be Trinity. That could be an option too. Timmy in our chat room says he's the mystery partner. So it could be anybody here, but I do find it interesting that we're talking about this now, and this became a huge story here. We'll find out, right? Some news out of ROH Final Battle, because I want to give the show a little bit of time because I absolutely love the show. My mood was positive watching this. I watched it on a brand new TV that I was forced to buy because my 2-year-old TV fell apart. So I had to buy a new one, and I just got it in time. So it was a lot of fun watching it. But Tony revealed some news in the press conference for Final Battle. He said that New Japan will be involved with the show. Now that is interesting to me. I don't know in what capacity or what they're doing here. He didn't give a start date for when the weekly show begins, but it would begin in the new year. Expect news to come out after New Japan's Wrestle Kingdom show early January. So, you know, I would imagine it would be probably on that next Dynamite after this, you know, whatever that is, or the next Rampage after that show, whatever, you know, comes, whatever date comes before. I think it's Rampage that comes, right? Pay-per-views, including Final Battle, move to the service. The new service is going to be their new version of Honor Club, which is what? Watch ROH TV, whatever the link is. So this is their new Honor Club. That is where they're going to be streaming it for a monthly fee. They do not have TV distribution. They do not have streaming with Warner Media involved outside of the pay-per-views. This was very disappointing to me because I had anticipated that they were able to get this done. Now, listen, they're in a contract year. This is not no knock at Tony for sure. They're in a contract year. I know how these things go. A lot of times you want to hold off, right? They also want to use it as a bargaining tool on their side. Warner Media is slashing everything at this point. They're trying to save as much money as possible. And probably, most likely, this has come into play with this contract negotiation. I'm going to read from a chat right now that I have here, right? I was having a conversation early today about this with somebody. But, you know, two key people have left out of Warner Discovery. One is Nancy Daniels and one is Jane Lateman. So these are changes. Nancy Daniels, who oversaw Turner Channels, is out. So this is playing a part. Also, the person that's coming in to oversee the content, I believe his name is Jason Sarlanis. I'm not too familiar with Jason, but he comes from the true crimes department, right? He specializes in true crime style content, which is very inexpensive to create and to produce. That kind of tells you what they're looking to do with their lineup with content. Outside of sports, what do they have? And let's not look at AEW. Let's look at AEW as its own thing. They only really have AEW and reruns more than anything else. So obviously, we know that reruns are inexpensive to produce. True crime documentaries are very inexpensive to produce, which Turner does a ton of these. We're going to see what this means. But, you know, a lot of these things are coming into play. Obviously, contract year plays a big part here. We're going to go into this and a whole lot more. And results from Ring of Honor Final Battle right after this on Sports Byline. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live, Sunday edition. I couldn't breathe right before that break. I'm sorry. It was a little unorganized. I started choking on my water. I did want to add a couple more things here to the ROH TV story before we go into the final battle show. In typical Matt, my producer, fashion, my notes are all wrong once again, and he called the show Death Before Dishonor results. We are on the wrong pay-per-view here, Matt. MG. Thank God the notes are the right matches, though. I'm happy for that. You know, listen, I think this is all interesting stuff. There is the relationship between Warner Discovery and AEW is not bad. I want people to realize this. I think there's a lot of speculation and rumors going around that this is doomsday for them. Listen, it's never good when you have key allies in a company that change and move and leave. It's never a positive, but this is something that is very common in entertainment and in media, especially in giant conglomerates like this. And especially when you merge. Tony understands what happens with mergers like this. And he's as prepared as he could possibly be. But a lot of this has to do with the fact that they are going into a contract year. A lot of people were asking, you know, where do you put the pay-per-views? How about AEW archive footage? What happens with that? You know, the next day rights, who's getting that? All this stuff is going to be addressed in this contract. I'm sure a lot of the Ring of Honor stuff is also going to be brought up. So we just got to wait here. But we are going to get Ring of Honor content. We're getting it on Honor Club or whatever that version is that we're going to get. Let's see. I got to tell you, last night it looked fantastic. The production side of things looked like $1 million. Ian Riccaboni, fantastic on commentary. He's always been good, right? Like, I think we know he's very good on commentary. But he really was in his groove last night. Very much so. I very much enjoyed it. But let's go into this. There was a 0 hour pre-show, probably one of the best that they've done. The Jeff Cobb match was nice, was good. Matt Menard, Angelo Parker, defeated Shinobi Shadow Squad, which is Cheeseburger. Okay, cool, whatever. But it was a fine. That Top Flight match was fantastic. Top Flight defeated the Kingdom. I think a lot of people were surprised at Darius and Dante Martin defeating the Kingdom, which is Matt Taven and Mike Bennett. Mike Bennett slimmed down a lot, much more leaner. Matt Taven, you know, he's a great worker. He's a great wrestler. I think his last that world title run did not work for him. And it kind of hurt him in the eyes of a lot of people. But let's go to the main show here. Blake Christian, AR Fox defeated Roosh Who did, you don't have it in the notes here. Who did? Who, can you pronounce this, MG? Khalees, yeah. Darlistico. There you go. Your thing is in there. I didn't want to get it wrong. Dude, this was a great match. AR Fox is fantastic. I've seen him here in the Northeast for a long time. I thought it was a great match. Just what happened in that match? What was that ending? MG?
I'm sorry? Oh.
What was that ending? What happened there with the count?
Oh, I honestly, I think they messed up. I think the wrong guy.
Yeah, they messed up. It really sucked the energy out of the room. But Roosh, you know, and just losing his mind and pushing, you know, throwing chairs, unprotected headshots. Darlistico, thank you so much. Another typo there. Thank you. Darlistico. I can't say it. I don't know why I can't say it. I can't say it. I'm so sorry. Athena defeated Mercedes Martinez to win the ROH Women's World Championship. Fine match. I was in and out for this one, but the crowd was getting into it. You're building Athena up for the ROH side. I think that's a positive for her. Swerve in our glory. Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland defeated Shane Taylor Promotions. Shane Taylor and JD Griffey. I thought this was fine. They're building the story, continuing the story between Swerve and Keith Lee. That was the main thing here. He also got Shane Taylor in front of TV. Shane is impressive. He's a big dude, giant dude, former tag partner of Keith Lee, so it made all the sense here. Embassy.
There was a big pop there.
Big
pop when they faced off.
Well, how about the catch when he caught him?
Oh, that was great.
He went for a crossbody, caught him. I mean, these are big, giant dudes, right? Embassy defeated Dalton Castle and the boys to win the ROH six-man tag team championship. All right, we'll see what happens here. I think this could be a nice rehab for Brian Cage. He's been very unutilized. I'm not going to say poorly. I don't know what goes on backstage. I don't know what kind of, you know, conversations they're having, but I would say that this is at least this is putting him in front of TV. And I think in Ring of Honor, he could be an impressive top guy there. You know, if you're building the product and you're going to have more mid-card acts, you know, trying to give them TV time and trying to build them as a brand, I think this is a great person to have there. Wheeler Yuta defeated... My notes are all wacky here. Sorry. Wheeler Yuta defeated Daniel Garcia to win the ROH Pure Championship. We've seen them wrestle before. What did you think of this match? Do you think their first one was better? I'm asking the chat room here and, of course, MG. You think the first one was better or the second one?
I think this one was.
It's such a good match every time.
Yeah. I like the story they told where Wheeler Yuta used up all his rope breaks and basically was on the verge of getting DQ'd. And because Daniel Garcia forced him to punch at the beginning of the match.
Yeah.
So that I thought was clever.
That style is my favorite style of wrestling. You know, what these guys are doing with the Pure title. I very much like this style. I think anybody that watches or listens to me talk about professional wrestling over the last decade or so, decade and a half even, you know, the Danielson style, Yuta, you know, Garcia's great, Yuta's great. I mean, I love that kind of wrestling. So I was so into this match. And then we got the Briscoes and FTR. Double dog collar match for the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Championship. You know, the way this was announced, I don't think people went into this and said, you know, this is going to be, it was a hot feud, right? Like the way they announced this, it was the Ass Boys announcing the match for the Briscoes or the challenge for the Briscoes to FTR. Okay, whatever. End of the show. People were making jokes about it, but this was the third match. I went into this thinking, how can they top the last one? How can they top the time before? Boy, they did it for me. This was
blood.
Unbelievable. It was everybody was bleeding from the beginning, right? The match was like a couple minutes in, everybody's bleeding. They did such a unbelievable job with this tag match, with a gimmick like a dog collar match, you know, which generally, you know, and this is the difference here. When WWE does stuff like this, which they don't do too often, but when, let's say they do a collar match, I want to leave the room. I have zero interest in it because I know how it's going to go. It becomes almost a negative for the match. It takes away from it because they're working around this thing. These guys utilized it in every possible way. Spots had happened that you would not see because of the dog collars. I was so impressed by all of them. Everybody that participated in this match, it was remarkable. I really, you know, the Briscoes are great, right? FTR, the run of their career this past year. Now they're losing the titles, which is part of the story. And it's going to continue on, right? That's what we're expecting here. But I loved everything about this. The storytelling, the match, it did not get affected by the dog collar. And it was remarkable. This is a 5-star match in my opinion, because I went in with very little expectation and I came out of there loving it. Unfortunately, the match that followed this was Juice Robinson and Samoa Joe for the ROH World Television Championship. I thought this would have been a great match any other place. It did not. The crowd was much more subdued. No fault of Joe or Juice. I think this was, you know, this is Juice's first showing in this capacity. I'm curious what they do continuing from here. But Joe defeated Juice Robinson. Also, the Briscoes, for people who didn't see, the Briscoes defeated FTR. If there is anything that you need to watch from this show, I'm going to say watch that show. Watch that match. It is probably going to be one of the greatest tag matches. You know, if you create a list of great tag matches from this era, this is on that list. I don't see how it can't be. And, you know, the Briscoes really don't work every week. They're not wrestling 5 days a week, 6 days a week. So, they came out here and they did an unbelievable job. Also, Claudio Castagnoli defeated Chris Jericho to win the ROH World Championship, and he submitted by the Giant Swing. Very unique ending. I did not hate it, but these guys had a great match too. Did you like the match, MG? Because a big story, I mean, obviously the Briscoes and FTR was the story of this show, but did you enjoy this match also?
I did like this match. And with the, I've been watching wrestling for 30 plus years and I've never seen a finish like that before.
Fantastic job. Mm-hmm. Very unique finish. And I really liked it. We'll see where this goes. We'll see what happens to Ring of Honor moving forward. Wrestling Observer Live, going to a quick break here on Sports Byline. We'll be back right after this. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live, Sunday edition. But yeah, that show was a fantastic show. That Ring of Honor show. Loved everything about it. A lot of fun. And right after that, we had an NXT show. Deadline. By the way, big shout out to Denise Salcedo. Our very own Denise was on the kickoff show panel with Mackenzie Mitchell and Sam Roberts. Listen, Hollywood Denise. She's a huge star now. Wrestling Observer who? Andrew what? No, very proud of Denise doing some amazing stuff. And always, you know, listen, when you generally like somebody and you're friends with somebody, you want to see them be successful. And that's amazing. I love it. This show was interesting. I don't love this match concept. It's a lot of moving parts. It's a gauntlet match. It's not a gauntlet match. You got a timeout period. Matt, how did you feel about the concept of the Iron Survivor Challenge match?
Well, I when I first got it announced, I was like, well, that's what NXT is for, right? On top of being developmental, it's also experimental, trying new things that we haven't seen before. That it qualified for. They definitely have to change a few things. I think the cage should be closer to the to the ring.
Yeah, I agree.
Something like that. There were certain things that I did like about it though, because you were able to tell some unique stories within the match.
Yeah, definitely did. You know, it was, you know, someone that did. Roxanne Perez won the match. However,
the women's.
But Kiana James was the story here, right?
She came out looking pretty good for someone You know, she was the workhorse in the entire match, and they didn't give her any falls, but. I think at the end of the day, her stock will rise because of it.
Yeah. Also, pretty deadly lost the NXT tag titles to the New Day. So we're going to have the New Day hanging around. And this goes back to something we were talking about a couple of weeks ago where, you know, expect to see bigger names on this NXT product. I expect to see indie names on this NXT product this year based on everything that's been said to me. And also, I expect some guys to go back to NXT. You know, they're getting ready to tour again. This is not going to be a straight-out developmental project. They also need to be competitive with the TV numbers. You're not going to really get that by having just unknowns and a couple, you know, having a Braun Breaker on that show, which I love him. He's great. So they're getting ready to do this. Grayson Waller won the men's match. Did you like the men's match?
Yeah, I did. I actually liked the women's match better, but the men's match was good too. It just wasn't as memorable for me.
So Grayson Waller is the number one contender for the NXT Championship, and so is Roxanne Perez for the women's championship here. This led to NXT title match, Braun Breaker defeating Apollo Crews to retain. I thought Apollo looked good. I thought Braun looked good. And this is just another step into, you know, making Braun that next guy. Do you think it's working? Do you think Braun Breaker will come up to that main roster during a draft or something will happen and he gets this huge ovation and people are into him? Will this translate to the main roster? I don't know. I hope it does. I hope it translates to the main product. Depends, obviously, how they position him and what they do. But the dude is super talented. He's a Steiner. Why is he not being called a Steiner? Come to the main roster as a Steiner.
I think he's too much one note still. He's still too much of that.
But you know what?
Fruit,
you know? Scott Steiner wasn't really, I guess at one point he was a tremendous worker. But, I mean, what got him over was him being a lunatic. And I say that in the nicest way because I don't want that guy to assault me. I mean that in the most positive way. But for Braun, listen, this is just another milestone, another way to kind of build him until he comes over. Interesting to see what they do here. AEW, Dynamite, Winter is Coming this week. MJF defends the AEW World title and the Dynamite ring against Ricky Starks. They could have done this better, and I'm going to tell you guys, I'm sure you all heard Brian Alvarez's fantasy booking on how to get here. I think Brian's booking was fantastic. So well done. It should have, if you haven't listened to Brian, he's talked about this, I believe, on the Brian and Vinny show and on Observer Live, where essentially he said, this dude should have come out and challenged him right there and beat him for the ring, and now you set up the match. So he beats him for the ring, cheap shot, does something, cheats, whatever, and then you have the actual match where you could lose MJF, and now they're 1-1, and you built a story for the future. But everything is hindsight is 2020, right? Just like the chat room said. I'm stealing all your lines today. we're also going to get match 4 of the Best of 7 series between Death Triangle and the Elite. Death Triangle leads 2-1 right now. House of Black will be in action, and it's Ruby Soho and Ty Mello also. SmackDown, the big story here, Kurt Angle celebration we got to see. Ended with Gable Steveson and Kurt Angle dousing Alpha Academy in milk. How suitable. You also got a reunion with his son, Jason Jordan. You got to see that. John Cena is the interesting story here. SmackDown, December 30th, SmackDown. John Cena is returning to SmackDown. It's WrestleMania season, right? They're in LA. They're doing something really cool with Royal Rumble at the Alamo Dome. WWE's hot right now. You got to continue on this track, right? John Cena returns December 30th. Maybe he's involved in Royal Rumble. I would anticipate him to be involved in WrestleMania. You got Cody coming back. Who knows what they're going to do? Who wins the Rumble? You got Dwayne possibly looming. You hear the Austin rumors on him having a match at this show. Listen, WrestleMania is a very comfortable show for a casual viewer to watch, right? There are people, and I know many of these guys and girls, that watch once a year or twice a year. Generally, it's Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. These are the two that people come back for. I could tell you from my own, you know, parties that we have in the house for these shows, there are people that come out of the woodworks that want to watch WrestleMania, and they do like this abridged. Can you imagine? You know what? It might be a blessing. I got this friend, doesn't watch any wrestling throughout the year, right? But once January arrives, he goes on Squared Circle, he starts listening to all the podcasts out there on Reddit, and he starts listening to all the podcasts out there, and all of a sudden, he's caught up a year's worth of content. All the good, all the bad, he knows everything that happened, and now he commits from January to WrestleMania. I find it amazing. God bless him. He saves himself such mental anguish. So, I don't know. You know, we'll see what happens here with Cena. A lot of people were asking me what I know about this. I don't know much. I just know that they want him involved. Obviously, they want everybody involved. They want this to be a huge success. It's the first WrestleMania without Vince McMahon in the history of this company. It's a big deal. To us, it's a big deal, but to them, it's a big deal. Very interested to see what happens here. We got some questions. Why don't we do the questions? Guys, submit your questions in the chat room with AskWOL, hashtag AskWOL. Do you want to read these, Matt?
Yeah, you want me to?
Yeah, you do.
That'd be easier for you?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay. And these are all from the YouTube so far, the ones we've been able to collect. Everything Pro Wrestling asked, what do you think they should do for splitting of rosters with AEW and ROH? Good question.
That's a great question. As far as I know, it's going to be a soft split for certain people. Obviously, there's going to be tons of people that are going to be on that Ring of Honor roster, right? And only on the Ring of Honor roster. I know a lot of people have asked to be on that Ring of Honor roster, but I think you're going to have guys like, you know, Claudio's their champion. Do you want to take Claudio off of your TV? Considering you got an internet show now, you have to have these guys still on the TV, especially big angles you got to have on TV. You could put them more with the Rampage side. You could do something with the big, you know, Claudio or Yuta. You know, these feuds could go there, stay continuing on Dynamite if it's a natural feud that's occurring, and then you move everybody else off to Rampage or all the other, you know, Dark and Dark Elevation and whatever else you're doing. I think this is not how people anticipated this ROH show to go, but they gotta continue. And also the New Japan element. I don't know how this is gonna play into things. It's gonna be very interesting.
You know what?
But
you know,
I don't
real
yeah,
quick.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I was saying real quick on this, just to add to that, the Sasha stuff, maybe that does play into ROH TV. Maybe the New Japan America brand is gonna be part of that.
I don't know. I'm curious what they do with that. That's a great question, though. Mm. All right, Darren has a question. What's Darren's question?
Darren asked, if next ROH pay-per-view is Supercard of Honor at WrestleMania weekend, who do the Briscoes defend the title against?
I don't
People
know if
People forget
he's gonna,
about the Bucks.
Yeah, I don't know if Tony's going to want to run WrestleMania weekend. I think he kind of had to run this one, right? The last one.
It was already booked, wasn't it?
It was already booked, yeah. Booked? So, but yeah. I know that he does not want to do that. In a lot of people's minds, I'm not saying Tony's, but a lot of people's minds, it's a very second-rate thing to do, to piggyback off of another company's major show. I think Tony is right in that sense. It would be a negative for AEW to run a WrestleMania weekend show. I think the optics of that is a negative. I'm sure it would be a fantastic, you know, card. I don't know if the same stigma would exist with Ring of Honor. I just know that Tony doesn't want to run a WrestleMania weekend unless something has changed. But whatever that next run for the Bucks, for the Briscoes would be, I think the Briscoes need to take it easy and start challenging some in-house people. You know, Dante Martin looked like $1 million, him and his brother. Why not have them be the first feud?
That would be
great. Top Flight looked like $1 million. Have them, you know, have a private party, have Top Flight, have all these other tag teams that aren't really in that tag picture on the main roster for Dynamite, move them over there.
Best Friends could do a run there.
Best Friends could do something. Yeah, I think it's cool. You have a lot of options there with the Briscoes because they're great workers. They could work with a lot of different styles. But definitely the Bucks would be interesting. Where, you know, the Bucks beat the Briscoes, FTR gets involved somehow. You have a natural story here. Here's a question
we got one
from
more,
the chat.
Yeah,
let's do it.
We got one more question on here. MKSAPPDO64. Thoughts on Roman working both nights at WrestleMania?
I hate it. I hate that rumor. Listen, has that been discussed? Yes. Has it been brought up, I should say? Yes. It has been brought up, but a lot of things are brought up. A lot of different things are constantly discussed for ideas. It also depends who Roman's opponent is. You know, night one, Dwayne. Night one, you do The Rock. Night two, you do Cody. That takes a lot away from Cody. You already saw Roman come down the ramp. That automatically takes something away.
But it also protects Roman, too.
Does
it? Right?
I don't think so.
If he has a long match with The Rock,
sure,
and then the next
sure.
Night,
if that's the story
that
you're
going
to tell, that The Rock, you know, a 50-something-year-old man wore him out, and now, you know, he's facing Cody, and now he's weak. But it doesn't do anything positive for Cody. The person that beats him has to become the new king. Roman is a kingmaker, and that's where we need to go. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live, final few minutes of the show. Not bad for a solo show. This was fun. It went by really fast. I see the chat room screaming, did Andrew just call The Rock a 50-something-year-old man? I did. Damn right I did. Listen, I just feel like it's silly. Listen, unless they do something remarkable as to why Roman is wrestling two nights in a row. You know. Unless they do something really cool, which I don't know. They can. Absolutely they can. But he's not a normal 50-year-old whatsoever. No, this man, The Rock, is remarkable. He's, you know, the most handsome man. He's like the Colossus of Rhodes, you know? He's a giant, this human being. But I don't like that concept remotely. I think the person that faces Roman should be the person that faces Roman, and then you tell the story. Now, how you get that title on Cody, if that's how you're going to do it, there's so many other ways you could do this that are far more creative and far better for Cody as far as his run goes. When Cody becomes champion, people need to understand this was not a fluke win. This was not he definitively won, just like what they were going to do with Drew McIntyre. That was the moment for Drew. That kick out of the ring at that Royal Rumble 2020, one of my favorites, by the way. People thought I was insane when I kept telling people this is one of my favorite Rumbles because the story was so well done. And then, you know, obviously, the multiverse collapsed and the entire world stopped for 2 years. So, you know, poor Drew. I feel bad for him. He never got that run he should have had. And if he had that run, listen, how much of a difference would it have made for WWE? I don't know. But at least it would have been an opportunity here. Guys, that's it for this week. We'll be back next week with another Wrestling Observer Live here on Sunday. Follow me on Twitter @AndrewZarian. And we'll see you all next time, guys. Take care.